Thank you for listening to this Calvary Apostolic Church podcast. We believe this message will be a blessing to you. If you do not have a church home, we would love for you to join us for worship in the near future. God bless you.
Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. We all stand all over this house this morning. To see all of you in the house of the Lord this Sunday morning, this Father's Day, June. I miss my dad today. He is, as he said earlier in a text message to my sisters and I, he's driven the preacher to preach this morning. My mom is speaking in Indiana this morning, and my dad is preaching tonight. I miss my parents today, but I'm thankful for godly parents that follow the direction that the Lord leads them. And if that's away from here this morning and we have to sacrifice a Father's Day for them to fulfill the will of the Lord, I'm thankful for parents who do that. He did talk to him yesterday and he said he wanted me to tell you all how much he loved you. Happy Father's Day to every father. How much he looked forward to being home with you next Sunday. For those of you who were not here on Wednesday night, we presented him with his Father's Day gift. It was a pair of sunglasses from the church. And I've been with him a lot since then. And I'm not sure that he's taken them off. I know he wore them for about 5 hours yesterday morning. So he's very appreciative of that. And he was thankful for that kind gesture. I would turn your attention this morning. If you can't tell, I'm trying to work up the nerve to get started this morning. I feel a little inadequate to preach on Father's Day this morning. But I believe the Lord put something in my heart a few weeks ago. And I'll turn your attention this morning to two different portions of Scripture. Genesis 2, verse number 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. To dress it and to keep it. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I want to preach to you for the next few moments this morning from this subject, Dad the Protector. Dad the Protector. If you'll lay down your Bibles or your iPads or whatever you have in your hand and put away any distraction this morning, you'll just lift up your hands toward heaven and ask God to speak to you through this sermon. That God would anoint me and that His Word would go forth and fall on hearing ears and willing hearts. Lord Jesus, I thank You, God, for the opportunity to dive into Your Word this morning. The opportunity to seek what You would have to speak to the church this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that we would hear the Word, O Lord God, and respond. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray, God, You put a special blessing on every father in this house this morning. I pray, Lord God, that You bless every home represented here. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone said, Amen. You may be seated this morning. Men are born with a brain that is programmed to protect what belongs to us. God designed men with protector instincts. Tell a man an idea, and he will typically respond with all the things that will likely go wrong. He's not trying to be a wet blanket on your parade of good ideas. He's trying to protect you from failure. If I explain a brilliant plan that I have drummed up in the kitchen and I explain it to my mother, she's most likely going to tell me how proud she is of me for thinking of this brilliant plan, and she will pledge her invaluable support. I can take the same brilliant plan to the garage to talk to my father, And he will tell me how it will probably fall apart before I ever get started. Maybe not that extreme. He's a supportive father. He's a great dad. As I said before, I miss him this morning. But he'll bring a different perspective to my idea than my mother brought, because my parents are wired differently. Males are wired this way by Scripture. We're not weird, ladies. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. You'll probably never understand how our brain works, and we will sure never understand how your brain works. Saw something the other day, and it was a man standing, and he was opening a library book, and the book, the table was about waist high, and the book came up to about chest high, and the title of the book was Understanding Women. And it was filled page after page after page after page, and the man was on page 2 and the confused look on his face. But I will probably admit this morning that it's probably the same when ladies try to understand the brain of a man. Ladies, wives, your husband is designed to be the godly leader of your home. Children, God knew you needed a protector in your home. And so he designed dad with the instinct to set boundaries and protect that which belongs to him and God has entrusted him with. When a godly father sets a home and sets protective boundaries in a home, he's exercising his God-given authority and his protective instincts in the home. He's not being mean to keep you from having fun. He's not being rude to keep you from enjoying life. What he is doing is exercising the gifts and the authority that God has given dad to set the boundaries for a safe home. As a child growing up, it was not my responsibility or place to press the boundaries that my father set. It was my job to obey the boundaries. They were there for my benefit. And I will pause here and thank every dad sitting under the sound of my voice who set boundaries, godly boundaries in their home. We owe every dad in here a hand of appreciation for boundaries that they've set in homes. Where they've said, this can come in and this has to stay out. This goes this far and this stops here. Dad, every boundary you set, I'm thankful for. Dad, sitting on the front row or the back row or anywhere in between, every boundary you've set for your family that has kept them safe is your God-given right to do so, and you're exercising the authority that God has given you when you do it. And even though we don't get up every day, look you in the eye and thank you for the boundaries, later on in life we will realize that you set boundaries that saved our lives, and it goes too often unnoticed that you are setting boundaries that keep your family safe. Thank you so much, every dad that sets a boundary. Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And the promise follows in verse number 3. That it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Every child who dishonors father and mother forfeits the promise of God found in Ephesians. That could be yours just by simply honoring father and mother. I grew up in a generation where respect was common sense. Where respect was common knowledge. I am shocked when I hear conversations between parents and children, and the parents are the ones who are looked down on for demanding respect from their children. We are not too far removed from that to reenact that and get that back in this world. We need parents who will raise children that require respect, because if they'll respect their parents, they'll respect those around them. And I was taught that I better have as much respect for my neighbor as I did for my parents. My dad was talking in Bible study recently, and
he said something to the effect that he'd had to apologize for things that he didn't even think he was wrong for doing. And I said amen with force because he enforced it on me when I was growing up. I remember as a five or six-year-old boy, it was before we moved to Columbus, we moved here right after I turned eight, so I was between 5 and 7, and my dad's cousin offered to make me toast for breakfast at my grandmother's house. And I replied, no. I made my point. I didn't want toast for breakfast. My dad, who was not even there, later heard from my grandmother, who I now know is a tattletale, that I did not say no thank you, ma'am. I don't remember getting spanked for my omission of words, but I do remember picking up the phone, calling my dad's cousin, and apologizing for not saying no thank you, ma'am. I'm 31 years old and I still have the habit of calling everyone sir and ma'am. I get the funniest look when I open the door at a restaurant or a bank or a store for a male or a female and I reply yes sir or yes ma'am when they say thank you or I say you're welcome. I've had people stop and shake my hand and thank me for being respectful. It is not too much for parents to raise respectful children. It's not too much for us to respect the parents that raised us right. It's amazing the relationship and the cohesive relationship in families when children have respect for their parents. You can look, if a child has respect for his parents, they're usually closer together as far as family cohesion than if they don't have respect for their parents. If there's respect in the home, there's not strife, there's not tension. There are days that my dad and I don't get along like BFFs. I mean, we work together. We're together all of the time. But I have respect, or as Isaac would say, mad respect, for my dad. He's instilled in me principles of things that I needed in life. That at the time of the lesson, I didn't care for the test. But they have served me later in life. Dad, every test that you've put your kid through to serve them greater in lifetime ahead. Thank you so much for every dad in here who stopped me when I was running the aisles. Thank you. When I was a little kid, when I was doing what I wasn't supposed to be doing. Brother Hamill's not in here right now, but I know he's here this morning. Every time he stopped me as a Sunday school superintendent, every time I sat across the desk from him in trouble, I shared a desk with my principal at school. My side had no leg room. Their side had leg room. Unfortunately, I told someone recently that I really wasn't the greatest behaved child when my dad wasn't present. But I was like a young private in the army when he was around. Shoulders back. Chin high. It's like I was a toy soldier that didn't have any batteries when my dad was around for the most part. I mean, I just stood there. But when he went out the door, I found my energy. My dad was trying to instill something in me that other people would want to be around me when I was older. Other people would want to be around me. Michael's mother, Sheila. Also a tattletale. Different side of the family. I've got it from both sides. She told my dad one time, when you're not around, that Jimmy is out of control. I had experience on my side, but he still kind of believed her because she was an adult. So he kind of knew she was an instigator of sorts, but he also knew I had the potential to be ornery. When I was a kid, if I got in trouble at school, I did not get to tell my half the story before my whipping. I might get a chance after, but I didn't get a chance before. My dad's not here, so I'm going to make two confessions this morning. first grade, I came home with a post-it note of my disobedience, handwritten from my teacher. It may or may not be buried in our yard in Jewett. There was a pile of bricks beside the fireplace outside. I thought, Dad'll never go through these bricks, and if he does, my name's not on it, her name's not on it. I was just disobedient, and so I picked up those bricks and I buried that piece of paper. Got that one off my chest. We got another one coming in a minute. But I grew up when my red-haired first grade teacher, who not only wrote notes about me and sent them home with me, I remember the day that I was disobedient. I can't remember what I had done. I think I had ran in from recess instead of walked in from recess. She, in front of the entire class, bent me over her knee and whipped me because my parents had so willfully signed a piece of paper that says I could be punished at school. Do they still sign those at school, Daryl? No. For those of you who don't know, Daryl is a school administrator, has been a principal and a teacher in the past. Went to him for confirmation this morning with that. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. As long as mother and father are walking after the statutes that are set in the Bible, it is biblically right that we should honor father and mother. And that doesn't just stop with mom and dad. That goes as far as to saying we honor the church, our mother, and God, our father. And those two work together to raise mature Christian people. And so for every dad who has stood up for Christian principles, I honor you this morning and I thank you for what you've done. I'm on a mission to get all the dads on my side this morning. Mother's Day, we usually, as Mike Hamill told me last year, all the moms get the pat on the back and dads get the kick in the rear on Father's Day. It's not my goal this morning, Mike. All the thumbs up. Children who dishonor their father and mother put themselves in danger of forfeiting the promises of God. Honoring father has a heavenly reward that I don't want to miss out on. But it also has a reward of it will be well with me. It's amazing to look at the scriptural principles and watch them apply when a kid doesn't have respect for mom and dad, how it's not well with them. When you see whether I agree with my dad or not, in my years that I've matured, whether I've agreed or not, I have not disrespected his opinion and told them that I didn't think he was right. There were times that he gave me advice that I may not have listened to, but he was still my dad and he had the right to give me the advice. Most often the counsel of my father comes from a place of genuine love. And I would say the same goes for you. If your dad takes the time to give you advice, it's because he loves you and he wants to see you succeed. With my dad being in Indiana today, I'll take full liberty to make one more confession. And none of you need to be like my aunt and my grandmother. Tattletales, nobody likes them. There have been times that he has offered me advice that I ignored and I later regretted it. I don't need you to text him and tell him that. He probably already knows. Hey, dads, we don't always act like we want your advice, but we do really need it. So just because I act like I don't want it doesn't mean you should stop giving it to me. Because dads, we absolutely need you in an hour and in a day and at a time when every rule is being bent and broken and it can't even be put back into place at some times. Dads who set boundaries in homes, we need you to exercise your godly right to stand in the door of your home and say, as I said before, this can come in and this must stop. Dad, it's your home. It's your right to stand at the door and say, I'm the protector of this home. And that can't come through the door. And that can't have a fingerprint on my family. You are the God-given line of defense for your family. And for every time you recognize it and every time you exercise it. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Could go around this room I could point out to the dads in this room who have had an impact on me. Some young, some older. But me watching you has taught me to love a church and to love a future spouse. Brother Stevens, you're a gracious man and a great father. Your kids are blessed because of you. I thought of Brother Hamill not too long ago, and I mentioned him here. He's a man full of wisdom. He's a lot of stories. I spent over an hour with Brother Hamill, Brother Gary and Bob Hamill's parents, Bob and Della, this week. And the funny story of their love story, and I'm probably not going to repeat this when looking for a wife, but Bob's friend had a picture in his shirt pocket of Della. And he made the mistake of showing it to Bob Sr. and said, "This is my girlfriend." And Bob looked at the picture and said, "Not anymore. That's my girlfriend." Stuck the picture in his top shirt pocket, and they've been married almost 74 years. I've watched those two as I've visited them the last couple of years as their age and health has not permitted them to be consistently in the house of the Lord. I've gone and I've spent hours in their home. I've heard some of the same stories more than once. And this week I got a story that I'd never heard before from Brother Hamill. We just talk and talk and talk. And he was in the hospital last week and his wife was having to be taken to a care facility because he's not strong enough to take care of her. And he said, "What do? When you've got to get rid of someone you've been with for 74 years. I said, "Brother Hamill, you're not getting rid of anybody. She's still your wife." And he said, "And as soon as I can drive, I'll be there to see her every day. I wish I was still strong enough. I'm hoping to gain my strength." See, I as a 31-year-old man went and listened to a 94, is that right? 94-year-old? 92, almost 93. They're 6 months apart in age. I know that well. I've heard that more than once. 90-some years of being faithful to the house of God, being faithful to his family. He's got great children. Brother Bob and Pam, we talk about you all. And Linda and Gary, we talk about you too. Mike and your family, we hear about you all. He's so proud of you all. Mike, he talks about his experiences, what he did for the company that he worked for 30 years. See, that was a generation where when you wanted a job, you showed up every day until they gave it to you. Didn't put out 500 resumes online and hope one called you. He went to that electrical house every day and finally the man said, "I won't have any work for you for a year. But if you will come back and see me in a year, I'll have a job for you." He went back 12 months later and 30-some years later retired from that company. That's the wisdom that's sitting on these pews in our church. That's the dads that step into this church every day, every week, that go unnoticed. The Mike Hamels, who are incredibly talented in what they do. The Jeff Tiles, who are very consistent. The Ryan Neal, the brand new dad, just last week had another baby. And we're excited for them. The P.J. Ulrey, who works tirelessly. The Gordon Locke, who is the inventor and the creator of all things unique at Calvary. That's all in our midst and goes unnoticed so many times. The Terry Gibsons, who you don't know, makes every CD and DVD. And if people need help moving, and this is, he doesn't have a moving company, he's just got a willing heart, and he'll help them move. He's a good father to Alex. I could go down the line. The Vinnies, who make their kids' lives fun. The Jason Razors, who their kids think it's a party every time when dad walks through the door. The John Underhills, who have more cool stories than dads are us. Man, your house is like a man's playground, dude. The Brian Locks, who are consistent. And a dad to Graham. a great personality. John, haven't got to know you that much, but you've got a good son. He rode in my car the other day, and for a lot of parents, that'd be a scary thing. He got 10 minutes alone with Pastor Jimmy, and he could say anything he wanted, unwanted, unhindered. The Brad Nash that I watched last Sunday night step out in that aisle and worship. Russ Underhill works a great job. He's an example to three kids. Jim Johnson's, who in a little bit older than I am, but twice as strong as I am. Who has his nose and he's addicted to that book. See, we have all those things that come into the house of God and usually go unnoticed. But more strikingly, how many things does God provide in this house as our Heavenly Father that we don't even notice His attributes, that we just expect Him to provide because He's just Father? God, I thank You so much for everything You provide for this church body. Have we thanked Him enough on Father's Day today? Have we stepped into His presence and just took for granted that if we spent 20 minutes in the prayer room, then we sang a couple of songs, that His presence would just flood into this place? The attributes of Father that we miss out on. The boundaries He sets in our lives. The fact that He's the protector. Do we really recognize how good God is to us, or do we just expect it because we call Him Dad? From the beginning of time, men have been willing to sacrifice their lives for what belongs to them and what they love. Wars have been fought for land, possession, and love. Authors have made a handsome living writing books about those who have given their lives for what they believe was rightfully theirs. Dads have protected families and died trying to preserve the freedom for their family. In Genesis chapter number 2, as I read to you my text, God required two things of Adam. He said, I want you to dress and keep the garden. The garden is your responsibility. Dress comes from the word that means to serve or to work. And keep comes from protect or to take care of. Dad, you are the Adam of your home. It is the responsibility that falls on the shoulder of Father to protect, keep, and serve what belongs to you. It will take the sweat of your brow to do so. It will take the worry of pacing nights in prayer to keep your children in spiritual alignment. But it is worth every waking hour. It is worth every frustration. It is worth every time you go to prayer. I have never regretted getting out of bed to pray. And fathers, you will do the same. You will feel the same. You will never regret getting out of bed to pray for your children. I try on Father's Day and holidays to use examples that are sitting in the congregation. And Brother Stevens, your son, your oldest boy, Gentry, had a good sense of humor. Has a good sense of humor. So those of you who don't know, Jared's older brother, Gentry. That's where Jared gets his sense of humor, is he got it from Gentry. But Gentry told me, he said, dude, he said, my dad, he comes in my room and prays before he goes to work in the morning. I'm trying to sleep because I got school and my dad's at the foot of my bed praying. And I'm like, dude, do you realize how rare that is? But I stayed up late. I'm tired. I'm like, yeah, that's not rare. The rare part is that dad is on his face praying for you. I'm going to venture and I'm going to answer my own question. Brother Stevens, did you ever regret getting out of bed to pray for your children? Not one time. Dads, you'll never regret setting boundaries, even though your kids might not appreciate your boundaries right now like they will later on in life. Adam had rule over the garden. It has been said more than once in the hearing, sometimes even in this church, that had Adam been vigilant about his responsibilities, he would not have allowed Satan into the garden to tempt Eve. Dad, that's the garden that God has put you in charge of. You can stand at the door of the garden and say, that is not welcome here. That doesn't belong here. You're not bringing that in here. You're not tempting my family with that. I'm not giving opportunity for my family to be subject to that. Dads, we're looking to you for the rules. We're looking to you to be the protector. We're looking to you to be the boundary setter of the family. Dad, we don't know where to get our boundaries unless you set them. Dad, make them plain to us. In Exodus 19:12, God told Moses, set the boundaries around the mountain to keep the people from touching it so they don't die. I just paraphrase what's on the screen for you. God did not give Moses a geographical coordinate for the fence. He did not print him out a digital map on his iPhone. Say, now, everywhere you see a red X, that's where a fence post goes, Moses. Essentially, God said to Moses, wherever you choose to put that fence is where the mountain starts. Dad, wherever you say the boundary is, that's where the boundary is. Dad, wherever you say there's a fence here for my family, that's where the boundary is. Wherever you say you want the boundaries to be, wherever you think you need to put them to keep your family protected, that's where they are, and we respect you and thank you for putting them there. Not all children are created equal. Not all parents parent children equally. Since my mom's not here today, I'll tell you a story about my mother. Jamie and I was probably 13. I'm going to tell this story. David, it's good to see you and your girls this morning. My cousin David serves overseas and he's home for a few weeks for training. He's got his girls in the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to have them all here today. My mother was the disciplinary voice in the house that day. And Jamie and I had gotten into it. I don't remember what we were doing. I think Jamie was 15 or 16. And they'll correct me if I get any of these details wrong. But my mother decided that both of us were getting a spanking. She made it very clear that both of us deserved a spanking. So, not sure how I got picked to go first, but we were in the living room. My sister's the audience. My mom had a leather fly swatter, and my mom spanked me with it. She sent me to my room to think about it. I later found out that's not why she sent me to my room. We have two sets of stairs at our house. We have a back set and a front set. The back set, when you go up there exposed, there's rooms on either side. There's the loft, my dad's office, a living room, and then my parents' room is off that. And so she sent me to my room, directly to my room, expected me to go immediately to my room. I bent the rule a little bit, and I stayed in my parents' room. And I leaned my head out of her room to see my mother spanking the recliner and Jamie saying, ouch. Now you know why I torment your children on a regular basis, Jamie. So dads, moms, you might set one boundary for one kid, and another child's boundary might be a little farther away from the mountain because you know the tendencies of your children. And so if you decide that one rule, and I know it's going to be, if I had Kids Quest in here and all the youth group, I'd be getting dirty looks because they want everybody to get the same treatment. But not everybody has the same personality. And so that's why some convictions strike my heart that don't even touch yours. And you have convictions that don't even touch my heart. Because you know what you're able to handle. And you know what your mind can comprehend. And my mother knew that I needed whipped, and she knew that Jamie could be scared into submission. I do not condone tricking your children, nor do I condone you telling my mother that I told that story. know the people. You know where their boundaries need to be. God let Moses set a boundary and then God said, I'll enforce it. It wasn't Moses that killed anybody who touched that mountain. It was God who would have done it. But he said, Moses, you set the fence and I'll honor it. Dad, under godly leadership, and you and Jesus Christ set the boundary, and then you just step back and you say, now God is going to honor it. If you set the boundaries in your house according to the scripture, you can step back and say, God will honor my boundaries. God knew who to give your kids to. God knew who my parents needed to be. God knew that my dad needed to be stern with me, or I would be like my aunt, falsified, out of control. I told an Aunt Sheila story before you got here, David. You have some of those too. My Aunt Sheila had a larger-than-life personality and a way with words and a way of tricking children. But I've got boundaries in my life. And I'm a better man because my dad was able to look at me as a kid and say, you don't understand this now, but in a few years you may thank me for it. And Dad, even though you're not here today, thank you so much for all the boundaries you set in my life. That fence could have been 3 miles from the mountain or 3 inches from the mountain. It was all up to Moses. Moses was God's man. Hey, Dad, you're God's man for your family. Dad, you're the protector of the family. You and Jesus put the fence wherever you think it needs to be. The family fence should always, always, always be farther away from the mountain than the church fence. Should always be farther away from the mountain than the pastor's fence. The church and the pastor's fence should be the last thing you get to before you come to the mountain. You can pause here and preach to everyone this morning. Every mother, every child, every father, every person under the sound of my voice needs boundaries in their life. And for you, you've got to set your boundaries. Don't set them closer to the mountain than the churches. Set the boundaries. Set them back. So if you get to the church boundaries, you realize you've already crossed your own. It's a safer space. You set your boundaries farther back. See, boundaries look boring until you experience what's on the other side of them. I didn't think my dad's advice was what I needed to hear until I got a face full of experience and consequences, a ruthless teacher and her tester without warning. Dad, God gave you the authority, as I've said more than once, to stand at your door and declare what comes in the house and what must stay out of the house. How different would our lives play out today, and what would the scripture look like if Adam would have stood at the door of the garden and said, Satan, you don't belong here. You don't have the opportunity to tempt my family. God is counting on you, Dad, to be the protector of the family. And no matter what uniform you wear this morning, no matter what hobby you have, no matter if you have a desk job or a construction job, whether your hobby's golfing, no, I didn't put that front and center. Somebody else did. No matter what you like to do, what your job is, Dad, first and foremost, above everything represented here, before you serve country, before you serve job, before you have a hobby, before you do something that may put meat on the table, but you enjoy time alone, you are the boundary setter of your family. You are the one that steps in and says, this is how far the enemy can come. This is how close to my family the enemy can come. It's not what's keeping your family from doing wrong. It's setting a boundary to say the enemy doesn't belong any closer to my family than this. Most often those talks of, you'll understand this later, were leading into punishment. And that this hurts me worse than it hurts you speech. Christ so loved the church that he gave himself for it. We mean so much to God that he sacrificed his life. He robed himself in flesh, came to this earth for you and I. And I will preach to you this morning for the last couple of minutes that if you do not have an earthly father, or you have an absent earthly father, you've got a heavenly father that loved you so much, he sacrificed his life. He said, you know what? Hanging on this cross is not too much for my children. hanging here with blood running down my cheeks, nail scars in my hands and in my feet. Not too much for my children, because I'm setting a boundary of blood that the enemy cannot cross. That when the blood's applied, the enemy has no way of crossing the blood. If you've never had the blood applied to your life this morning, you've got a Heavenly Father that loves you so much that He wants to apply the blood and welcome you into the family this morning. You may not have been naturally born into the church, but you this morning can walk to this altar with a heart of repentance and say, God, I'm so sorry and I need adopted this morning. Would you adopt me into the body of Christ? And you can throw up your hands with confidence that He would fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost and welcome you into a family that knows no limitations. A family that does not focus on our past and remember the bad things. Right now, if you don't have the gift of the Holy Ghost, have been baptized in the name of Jesus and repented of your sins, the Scripture would tell you that you're serving the flesh and unrighteousness and not saved according to what I find in Acts. But this morning, whosoever will, let him come. There are some fathers that choose to be absent after they see the choices of children. But no matter what you've done this morning, my God wants to be present in your life. My God wants to make sure you're accounted for. No matter what the past looks like, no matter what you've done before you got here today, my God said, I'll take any of them that the world doesn't want. The world chews them up and spits them out. But I want what's left. Give me all the pieces of your life this morning. God is the ultimate protector. God doesn't wear a gas mask. He doesn't carry an Uzi. But He does do special operations. Where the enemy thinks he's got a stronghold. And somewhere in the darkness, God said, I think I can sweep in and help. I think I've got enough tactics on my side that I can come in and sweep in. And I can apply the blood and I can pull the sinner out of the hold that they're in. Will we all stand together? I thank you for bearing with me this morning as I delivered what I felt like God had dealt with me about today. I've preached the last 2 or 3 minutes about the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you don't have it and you want it this morning, it's yours today. We can turn this national holiday of Father's Day into a celebration in heaven. Because the Scripture says if one sinner repents, all of heaven rejoices. And if you've never repented of your sins and asked God for forgiveness and turned away from what you were serving and given your life to God through repentance, the infilling of the Holy Ghost in baptism in water, you can do that before you leave here this morning. What a way to celebrate Father's Day. I want to ask all of us to come to the altar together as a family this morning. Your family's close to you. Pull them in. If there's somebody around you who doesn't have family with them today, pull them in. Let them be part of your family. We'll invite everybody to the altar this morning. You need to go back and get somebody and bring them to the altar this morning. Don't want anybody left out of the family today. Today. We're all family. Come on. I don't want anybody left by themselves right now. I want every father to lay hands on his children. I want every man in here, every dad to set the boundaries. And maybe you need to realign the boundaries in your family this morning. You've got opportunity to do so. Come on, push all the way up. I got room. Got a bunch of people back in the aisle. I got some room right here. I got room over here. Don't want anybody to feel left out this morning. The ministry team is going to make their way around and pray with families today. It's not really a boundary if you realize it's out of love. It's a safety net. And so the enemy can't get any closer to the thing. Man, you have an opportunity to set boundaries and align boundaries this morning. John, you set boundaries for your home. Let's all lift up our hands as they begin to sing this song. Dad, set boundaries this morning. Dad, put your hand on your kids today. Just make a commitment this morning. And out of love, we set these boundaries. God, you're such a good Father. It's the attribute of God. But who you are.